How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. And we haven't even chatted since DeAndre Hopkins announced that he was going to visit with the Titans. Your initial reaction when you heard the news, do you think DeAndre Hopkins is a good fit for this Tennessee Titans team?
Well, I wasn't surprised when he announced it, I guess. I think we had kind of talked about, you know, should the Titans be interested? I think there was clearly some past history there with Tim Kelly or Mike Vrabel. My other reaction to it is I actually think it'd be a great fit for Hopkins personally, because, I think he would come in, kind of bring instant credibility. I think he would probably be somebody that much of the passing game was, kind of focused and revolving around. Not positive it's necessarily the best thing for the Titans. Just like the direction that they're going, a player with his age and the amount of time he's missed the last two seasons. So I think it's one of those scenarios where, I could see it working out, but I feel like it would be a better fit for the player than it would be for the team.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, do you think that he is taking these visits, like he took to Tennessee, like he's taking with New England tomorrow, because he's genuinely interested in being a Titan or being a Patriot, or is this DeAndre Hopkins' way of raising the market around the league?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. He probably does want to make sure that he's happy somewhere. He's made a lot of money. I think it'll still be a big factor in the decision. But, I think that, trying to evaluate, okay, like, do I want to be there? And then also, like, the other side of it is, making it appear that the market is maybe stronger than it actually is. So I think those things kind of can both be happening. And I think the other aspect of it is in terms of what the money ends up being, because of the last, the missed time the last 2 years, obviously a big part of that was suspension, and the erratic quarterback play because of injuries in Arizona. And then quite honestly, in fairness, even some of his time in Houston, I think that you could get really different opinions in terms of what somebody thinks the market for him should be. Much like people, I think, were surprised at the amount of money that Odell Beckham got in Baltimore. I think you could end up seeing a scenario like that where he maybe, gets way more money from one team than any other team would even consider giving him.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, looking at this, and I think time is of the essence. If this was, March, April, then I think a player can take his time. And I think in March and April, I think he would have been able, say if he wanted the $15, $16 million, if he was on the market then, I think he had a better shot at getting it then than he does now. But with that being said, is it going to be critical for him to get into somebody's camp as quickly as possible? Even though I'm sure he probably wants to take the visits to sort of drum up some interest from everybody, but also you're putting yourself further and further. Well, you're putting yourself closer and closer to the date of camp starting, and you want to try to get in the building as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that, like, training camp to me seems to be the time, and that doesn't mean like day one of training camp, but I just feel like, you know, a player with his experience, different coaches he's been around, like, I think that he's a guy that if it ended up being, you know, first or second week of training camp, is that okay? Like, probably not ideal, but I think that's fine. I do think what happens is we get, especially this time of year with the mandatory mini camp, you know, I think we get really hung up on, hey, guy's here, guy's not here, and is that a big deal or is it not a big deal? And I tend to think for veteran players, this mandatory mini camp is not a big deal. The season is long, and I mean, so much so that people never remember what happened week three when you start playing football in December. So, you know, never mind, you know, a mandatory mini camp. So I actually think he's got a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. Look, injuries could happen in these mini camps. You could have an injury that happens early in training camp. And so I don't think I'd be in a huge rush if I were him.
Now, do you expect him to sign with whoever before training camp starts? Because I think ultimately, once you start eating up training camp days, that's when there's going to be a problem. I could think of my time going to the Jets. I didn't get there until I think like the first or second week after camp had started, and I was playing catch up basically the whole first half of the season, really, or first two or three games of the season.
Yeah, and I think that, and don't you think too, like, the okay, well, who are you going there with? Mm-hmm. Like, how familiar are you with the guys that are there? Like, so let's say he goes and signs of the Titans, and it's Tim Kelly, and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember this stuff. Or it's Bill O'Brien. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember this stuff. Like, that to me is very different than, hey, you're going to go to Kansas City. They got a busy room as it is. And, you know, they're not installing at your pace, right? Like, they're doing what they do. So, or, you know, maybe even Buffalo for that matter. So, like, I do think, yeah, look, it, like, where you go and how familiar you are, that I think could play a huge role into, you know, how effective you could end up being.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, you are the general manager of the Fighting Hasselbecks, brand new NFL franchise.
Oh, let's go.
What are you offering DeAndre Hopkins?
The Fighting Hasselbecks.
And what,
I
and what
like
team
that.
Colors? What team colors will you have?
That also is important.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm probably – I don't think that I would be comfortable signing him to longer than a two-year deal. I don't know. Maybe I'd give him a three-year deal. But, like, maybe like three-year deals with, like, an out after two, there'd certainly be some incentives. And then I think, like, in terms of what the market would be, look, I guess if, like, top-tier number one receiver money for the young guys is pushing – like high 20s, right? That's where the money is now a year. I think you've got to be way off of that. And I probably would be, I think in order to sign him, you've got to be over 10 a year would be my guess. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably what he wants. And so you're probably in somewhere in between 10 to 15. It's a pretty good range, but like, you know, so what does that look? I mean, it sounds like a lot of money for a guy who's missed a lot of football the last 2 years. So, like, the moral of the story there for me is that if the Fighting Hasselbecks had the ability to not be in that market, they would stay away from it.
All right. We'll get into more with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
All right, Tim, let's hit you with a couple of the red flags that we have talked about. And you just mentioned sort of your ballpark for what do you think it'll take financially. So here are the red flags. You tell me your level of concern for these. 31 years old, if you look at track records of wide receivers, especially with a little bit of an injury history here, it's not real good. It's not like there's nobody that's ever had a great bounce back season. D-Mace had several really good seasons, although he had zero injury history at all. But how concerned would you be about a bounce back at his age?
Very concerned. Age and injury history, the two biggest kind of determining factors when you talk about signing somebody in free agency. So the fact that he's, you know, older for a young man's position and then has had a significant injury and then also just missed time otherwise, like that for me is a significant concern.
What about this? D-Mace brought this up, and he and I and Caroline, very careful on how we couch this, right? But when you see, and this is under the category of red flags that you have to investigate, you see an injury followed by a suspension for PEDs, you do wonder how difficult. We brought up Taylor Lewan as a reference. Sometimes that's really not a good sign about the lengths of players trying to do to stay on the field. And again, we can't know exactly what it was or why it was, but that would have to be a concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely a concern. And I think that, look, whether you can get to the bottom of it or not, before you're saying like, all right, we're going to sign you to this contract, paying you, guaranteeing you millions of dollars. Okay. Were you not getting better? Were you not coming back from it? And so because of that, did you feel desperate and did you go down a road that, you know, you shouldn't have done, you know, gone down? Like, yeah, there's no question that that is going to be on the back of everyone's mind as you address that scenario.
Okay. And then we broke down his numbers last year, post the injury, post suspension, three games with Kyler Murray, not, you know, pretty good numbers, maybe not quite his peak numbers, but not bad. Then there was a pretty decent drop-off with Cole McCoy. And then they fell off the cliff, probably not surprisingly, with Trace McSorley quarterbacking. Yeah. So how do you factor that in? If you're DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sure you're trying to sell that.
Yeah, you're definitely trying to sell that, and I don't think that's a hard sell. I mean, I could hear it in the tone of your voice as you address the different quarterbacks. So, like, that to me I don't think is hard. I think the thing that will stick out is when he's running next to people, you know, when he's running and a DB's running alongside him, he doesn't look fast. Like, you know, and I'm not saying, like, I know exactly what he runs right now, but, like, when you watch him, and I think it starts to happen, he just doesn't move the way he did before. And that doesn't mean he still can't be good. There are plenty of guys that lost speed, but they just became kind of better technicians at the position, and he's got amazing hands and he tracks the football well. And so, you know, maybe doesn't create the same separation he once did, but that doesn't mean he still doesn't, you know, can't have value to an offense. But to me, that would be the bigger concern, is like, we've seen it from guys where it's like, look, your legs just have gone. They just went, you know, and it happens to people. And like, to me, I feel like that's what it looks like when I watch him run.
Now, all right, I'm going to throw like a good pitcher here, Tim. I'm going to throw a changeup off of all these DeAndre Hopkins fastballs. But one of the things going on around the league that's really, really interesting is the running back market. We saw Dalvin Cook. There's a lot of rumblings about Joe Mixon. I mean, all around the league, it looks like we saw James Zeke Robinson get released. Yeah, so they're all over the place. It's so interesting how it's almost like the Titans are the last of the Mohicans, right, who are investing big money in a running back with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and I think that they're an example of why other teams are looking at it and saying, look, he was awesome when they got him, you know, and no one was going to blame them for signing him. But if somebody would have been willing to trade for him this summer, they probably would have done it, right? But there wasn't anybody. So I just think that, look, that's another position. I mean, it sounds horrible, but it basically is like, look, we're going to run your wheels off and then we're going to move along. Like, that is a chew you up and spit you out position. And it's really tricky because, like, look at the Giants, for example. Like, Saquon Barkley touched the football over 350 times last year. Like, think how much more that his, like, in terms of involvement in your offense than any other player besides your quarterback. Like, you know, a running back can have as much of an impact on of an offense as any other player outside of quarterback. Like, you can't say the same thing for a receiver who, you know, maybe gets the ball thrown his way 10 times in a game. So that, to me, is significant. But I think that what you also have to kind of pay attention to is, like, the wear and tear. I mean, it is – it's brutal. You know, it's you know, for a long time, it used to be fullbacks. It was like, look, we'll find somebody else to – you know, put a neck roll on and jam their neck, you know, for a living, you know, next year after we have this guy do it, right? Like, that used to be that position. I feel like that's running back now.
Now, with that being said, I was going to ask you a question, Tim, about, you know, volume for DeAndre Hopkins. But Willie brought up something with the running backs that's interesting. And I heard Saquon Barkley sort of allude to this about, you know, the franchise tag and, you know, it's where it's at, and, you know, I'm not asking to reset the market. I'm just asking for my true value. Is the franchise tag doing the – because across the league with every position, everybody has sort of the base salary or the average salary that you would pay the top two or three. But is that hurting the running back position specifically, and does the NFL need to or the NFLPA need to rethink the franchise tag for the running backs?
Yeah, here's why it's killing them, is that there are really only a couple of really special running backs, right? I think Saquon Barkley, it's fair to say, like, he's a special running back. And you just go down the line of, like, look, you can even say that, you know, there was a stretch when Le'Veon Bell was a special running back. And the Steelers want to put the franchise tag on him. And he's like, no. I'm not like other running backs. Like, I'm an offensive weapon. I'm not just a running back. Like, I'm different. Don't treat me as a running back. Like, look how much you split me out. And, you know, it's, and similar things have happened in other positions, teammates, and know exactly where you're going. Remember Jimmy Graham? He's like, hold up, wait a second. I'm not a tight end. Like, look at me, guys. I'm in a two-point stance split off from the formation. And so I do think, because of, like, what the league has done with running backs, because there aren't a ton of, you know, guys that are as, you know, gifted as Saquon Barkley, so what now happens is that number is lower than probably Saquon Barkley should get in terms of the amount of just influence and impact that he has on that Giants offense. So, yeah, it's put him in a bad spot, but that's, you know, in some ways it's like, that, like, is the NFLPA going to, like, are they going to go change the rule because there's three unique players at the running back position? Like, I don't know how they would get that done. And I think that, but I think that that's definitely what's happened for sure, is that there aren't other players to raise the water level for the position.
Yeah, you're right, and it's going to continue. I think it's going to continue. That number is going to continue to go down when it comes to the running backs, and it seems like that may be the only position, to, considering how much they mean. Because these guys are, you're not having a running back on your team unless he's like a Derrick Henry that can't catch passes out the backfield as well as run between the tackles, as well as a breakout guy once he gets in open field. There's not too many teams that are using running back solely the way Tennessee Titans use their running back.
No, yeah, and so think about that, right? So that position is, like, Derrick Henry's position is different than Saquon Barkley. Like, yeah, I get it. They're both running backs and all that. But, like, they don't play the same position. Like, they really don't. Or they don't play the same role on a team. Like, Derrick Henry's, like, hardly ever on the field on third down, you know, unless it's a short yardage situation. Well, that's not the case with Saquon. Like, he's just as valuable to them, you know, in later downs as he is in early downs. You know, and I think that, so if you just start to go around the league and be like, all right, well, so who are those players that it's all the time? Like, Jerick McKinnon, what Jerick McKinnon did for the Chiefs is not the same thing that Derrick Henry does. Like, he plays, you know, every seventh snap. Like, it's totally different. So if you look, you're all right, well, all right, Saquon's unique. Christian McCaffrey plays a lot of snaps, and they use him in a bunch of different ways. Travis Etienne's probably headed that way. Like, I do think that, you know, you're not going to run into a bunch of guys. Like, and I think that the roles, just like roles of tight ends, you know, roles of tight ends are drastically different. You know, the Patriots tried to do that with Julian Edelman, where they're like, no, he's not a receiver. He's a slot receiver. It's like, hold up, wait a minute. Like, there was never any distinction before. Now you're trying to make a distinction. So, like, look, maybe we go down that route where, you know, you've got to be considered an every down back, and there's a percentage, for how many third downs you play or third and four plus. I mean, all this stuff's tracked, so there's be a way to find it out. But I do think that, you know, that's really the only way that the guys that really have that much impact and influence on an offense get rewarded.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, just circling back to our DeAndre Hopkins conversation, you're no longer the GM of the Fighting Hasselbecks.
Let's go.
Yeah. You are a wide receiver now, and you just got cut by the Fighting Hasselbecks. So now you're looking around trying to find your next landing spot. For you as a wide receiver, which team is more attractive, the New England Patriots or the Tennessee Titans as currently constructed?
I think the Titans are. And that's why I think that the fit is better for Hopkins in Tennessee than in New England. Like, in New England, like, there are other faster players, younger players, guys that they've invested in, guys that have a different skill set and role there. Whereas I think if you end up in Tennessee, look, there's very little commitment to the players on that roster at the wide receiver position outside Treylon Burks. And so with that being the case, you have an opportunity to come in and kind of stake claim to, like, no, I'm the guy that we're going to revolve a lot of this stuff around.
Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. And I'm glad that Tim Hasselbeck said that, because that's not a sentiment that I feel like I've heard a whole lot around the league. There's a whole lot of Patriots love going on around the national media. We will get into that coming up next, and of course your phones as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze is brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. 1025-1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Appreciate Tim Hasselbeck for joining us in the last segment. Hey, the Nashville Sounds are having a block party on Junior Gilliam Way from 3 to 5 p.m. in honor of 615 week this Saturday. There will be live music, inflatables, balloon artists, food trucks, hair braiding, and so much more. This is a free event before the Sounds game this Saturday. Go out to the Sounds Stadium, have a little bit of fun on Saturday. Just had Tim Hasselbeck on, and I asked him, hey, just, you know, completely unbiased, the Titans or the Patriots, which do you think is a more attractive landing spot? And Tim Hasselbeck said, the Titans. Now, I don't know if that's Tim just being nice, since he's talking to us in Nashville, but I think that Tim means it. I think that he does think that the Titans are a better landing spot right now for a free agent wide receiver. And that's so much different than a majority of the conversation that I've heard from the national media. Mm-hmm. I felt like when DeAndre Hopkins, it was last Wednesday, when it was announced that DeAndre Hopkins was taking a visit to the Titans, I felt like that did not send nearly as many shockwaves through the national media than when DeAndre Hopkins announced that he was visiting the Patriots. Like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cute. He's going to visit the Titans. But the Patriots! He's going to visit the Patriots, and he has a relationship with Bill O'Brien, and Bill Belichick told him that he loved him, and it's the Patriots. The Patriots need a receiver. The Patriots didn't have a very good offense last year. This is a big move for the Patriots. Completely ignoring the fact that, yeah, he also has a former relationship with Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel. And, yeah, like, the Titans also need a wide receiver. And, like, yeah, also the Titans' offense wasn't very good last year either. Mm-hmm. I find these teams to be eerily similar. So I always found it a little bit strange that there was so much more hype from the New England Patriots.
It's not strange. New England Patriots got what? 6 Super Bowl trophies.
Yeah, but those days are over. Tom Brady is gone.
They don't think it's over. Listen, when you walk in that, there's something about seeing, 6 championships. you know, four of them, you know, in current today's football within the last 20 years. You're talking about four championships, I believe. That does mean a lot, you know, when you walk in that building. You know, so players look at that and they look at where you're going as an organization. And, you know, Tennessee's not – it's not like – you know, it's not like Tennessee is a bad place to sign. I think it's a great place if you want to, you know, play football and be at a good organization with a really good head coach. You know, so I don't know – it just depends on, and we've talked about this, it just depends on what DeAndre Hopkins is looking for. That's what it depends on. And who's able to, you know, make that happen, or who's able to allow that vision to become more clear. Is it going to be the Tennessee Titans, New England Patriots, or whoever, whatever other team that's out there? Which, you know, style is going to fit more with what he's thinking? An organization is going to fit more with what he's thinking as a player. So I don't know if it's Tennessee. I don't know if it's New England. Because like you said, Caroline, you're right. Both of these teams seem to be sort of in the same space. They're not the same team, but they're sort of in the same space.
Right.
Meaning these aren't two teams that many aren't picking to make the playoffs. But if it does bounce right, they can make the playoffs. No one is picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Seems like both teams are making transitions into the sort of the younger, you know, the younger group of players. And they're trying to figure out, both teams are trying to figure out, okay, what do we have on our team? And how can we then make that team better based on what we have now in regards to our younger players?
But beyond that, too, I think this is also an example of how the national media works. It's a huge traditional team that has won a lot of Super Bowls, also in a massive market, right? I think ESPN knows when they start putting their topics together, and Caroline, you know this from having worked there, right? They want to hit a huge audience. They have several former Patriots on their panel, you know, shuffling in and out every day on the big shows that get their biggest audiences. So if they have a huge headline that says DeAndre Hopkins visits Titans, or DeAndre Hopkins is to visit the Patriots, they're going to get a bigger audience by talking about more of the Patriots angle. That's just how the NFL has always worked out. Sports works, small market versus big market. It has no impact, I don't think, on where DeAndre Hopkins is going to sign. It's just how ESPN does their thing.
I don't think it has an impact on where he's going to sign. I don't think DeAndre Hopkins cares what we have to say, what First Take has to say, what anybody else has to say, but just more so kind of the national perception. But and I do think that these two teams are in similar places, different in overall outlook of the franchise. Like, you look at the Patriots, they've got a young quarterback. You look at the Titans, they're probably in the last run, the last year of that trio of Tannehill, Byard, and Henry. But right now, this season, in terms of expectations, are probably in pretty similar spaces. But I do think that there is one big difference. And I don't know how much this matters to DeAndre Hopkins or not. Mm-hmm. Remember, like we heard from John McClain earlier, he said money is the number one priority. It's also not the only priority. It's the number one priority. So I don't know how much this really does matter to DeAndre Hopkins. But if competitiveness and getting to the postseason, being competitive in the postseason is important to him, I do think this one aspect matters. And Chris Broussard of FS1 highlighted that earlier this morning.
If it's down to Tennessee and New England,
come on.
I mean, honestly, because neither quarterback is great. Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee, and maybe Will Levis, we'll see, whatever. Or Mac Jones.
Or maybe Bailey Zappe, we'll see.
Okay, Mac Jones has completed 25 consecutive passes. So
in practice? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to be the worst team in the division.
Not true.
They're going to be the worst team in the division.
With or without
At
DeAndre.
Least both. Well, okay, at least with Tennessee, you got a shot in that division. You got a shot. They've been good last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and here's the other thing. How many players have we heard, whether they played for the Patriots or didn't, say it's no fun playing there?
Oh.
And that's when they were winning.
Oh, as you're shining
Can
your
you
ring.
Oh, right.
I didn't have fun.
They're not going to be shining rings this
it's
time,
not, it's
though.
Not a Chuck E. Cheese.
How fun will it be if you're losing? So, DeAndre, I think If it's these two, Wilds, it should be
do
Tennessee.
Do you think?
So I love that way. It's not like Chuck E. Cheese. Like, you're not going out there to have the best time ever. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's more so about how much fun you're going to have, how enjoyable it is. In New England, the fun was winning. Mm-hmm. I think the big part of it, if it is important at all to DeAndre Hopkins, if the money looks the same, the Titans are in a much more winnable division. I mean, the Patriots, they've got the Buffalo Bills, which we'll see about Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And then you've got the Jets, who just signed Aaron Rodgers. You've got Miami with a really solid offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that the AFC East looks like it is going to be a gauntlet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what DeAndre Hopkins even thinks about, what he weighs. I don't know what DeAndre Hopkins wants. But if you're looking at the two teams that I think are eerily similar, both in how their construction this season, and really the kind of quote-unquote culture that they're run by, the difference is Tennessee's in a winnable division, and New England is in a much more difficult division.
Yeah, as we look, yeah, that's the way it is. When you're talking about Buffalo, Miami, the Jet in New England, I mean, duh. I mean, Titans, Jacksonville. Houston, Indianapolis, duh. I mean, and it's that way because of you got two teams within the AFC South that are new quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks that will potentially start for their team. Now, I'm not saying that Indianapolis and Houston is going to be they're going to be horrible teams. I don't think they are. I think they're going to be highly competitive. Now, how many games they win, I don't know. But I would rather deal with a conference that's ushering in two new quarterbacks then dealing with Aaron Rodgers, Tua Tagovailoa, and Josh Allen. And those are just the quarterbacks. I'm not talking about the players other than the quarterbacks and the defenses on, you know, within that conference. So, I mean, yeah, but you, again, I don't know. He doesn't look like a guy that would run away from competition. He's not. Yeah. D-Hop doesn't look like a guy that said, well, I'm not going there because that conference is just too hard. I know I'm not going to win. I don't think he's built that way. I think if he chooses not to go to, say, New England, it's because of more than just – because ultimately what is it about winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And does it – both teams as they sit currently now, are they favorites? I mean, top 10 or 15 favorites to win the Super Bowl? Probably not. So they're both in the same boat in a sense.
15, maybe. Maybe.
You think the Titans could creep up to 15?
15. I mean, you're talking about some pretty bad teams in the league.
There are some bad teams in the league now.
You got the Bears. You got the Cardinals.
Yeah, you're right.
You got plenty of bad teams.
That's why I said 15 is probably that cutoff point, you know. Because, hell, you got Buffalo, Miami, the Jets. They're both, So you got Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh is always in there. How far up they are, they could be in front of the Titans. Jacksonville would be ahead of them. I'm only counting Jacksonville in their division.
Probably fair.
Denver, Kansas City. I'm just saying because they got Sean Payton now.
Okay.
Denver, Kansas City, and the Chargers.
How many is that?
That's
I think we're already at like 10.
That's 8, 9, somewhere around there. And that's just the AFC.
Right. I mean, how many NFC teams are Super Bowl contenders?
San Francisco, Cowboys, Philadelphia.
Cowboys.
The Lions.
Maybe the Giants.
Green, Minnesota. Nobody in the NFC
Green Bay.
South.
I don't know about Green Bay.
No, I didn't say Green Bay. I said Minnesota and Detroit. I didn't say Green Bay. Or maybe I did, but I misspoke. Nobody in the NFC South. The NFC West, just the 49ers and Seahawks, possibly. So, yeah, you're probably on that fringe of 15.
You're hovering around the mucky middle.
Yeah, that's 15, 16. So, both of it's like you're not a, based on, you know, possibly odds, you're not in that first half. Let's just say 10. Mm-hmm. You're not in that first 10. Now, below that, where do you fall? I don't know.
Right.
So, but I don't think he.
And New England is in the same boat.
He's in the same boat as the Titans. Right. That's why I said both of these teams are sort of in the same. They're both the same sort of organization at this point, you know?
Yeah, so. Right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on that. Plus, never have I ever in my life watched somebody win a championship and want to give them a hug because I feel bad for them. But that changed last night. And we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie Demas, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie Demas, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Want to get into some action that we saw last night, but before we do that, be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville Symphony's Black Panther this Friday at the Sturmerhorn Symphony Center. Willie, take it away.
All right, so it's Black Panther. We've got an NBA champion, and if you have never been to the Sturmerhorn Symphony Center, it is a beautiful, beautiful place to go, and you will love it. I'm telling you, go see it. But you got to answer my trivia question. The Nuggets won the NBA championship. They were one of four teams back in the day where the ABA and NBA merged. They were one of four ABA teams that survived the old days of the ABA. I'm in a city where one of them was. So you got the Nuggets. You got the Indiana Pacers right down the road from where I am up here. And then two more teams. Can you tell me the other two teams that made the cut and went from the ABA to the NBA? You got the Nuggets, you got the Pacers, and you've got to name the other two. 615-737-1025.
All right, good luck with that.
Yes.
They're still playing now. They're still in there. It's easy.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right, a little toss-up from Willie Donick. Mm. So last night...
Don't text the answer. Please call.
You will not win if you text. Please call 615-737-1025. Last night, the NBA Finals wrapped up. The Denver Nuggets are officially NBA champions, which I believe, D-Mace, you and I both made that our take it to the bank.
Yeah.
Not this past week, but 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Denver in five.
Yeah.
Heat would take game two, Denver in five. We both got that. Now, we didn't get a Jimmy Butler 30 or 40 piece, so we don't have to worry. We don't have to make that. But
Jimmy was bad.
It was not great.
Yeah.
Denver Nuggets take it in five games, a gentleman's sweep, if you will. But never have I ever felt bad for any champion of any sport until last night.
Uh-huh.
Because Nikola Jokic had a series of, like, depressed comments. This was Nikola Jokic postgame last night.
Yeah, now you are an NBA champion, Nikola. How does that feel?
It's good. It's good. The job is done. We can go home now.
You said after the Lakers win, you said you were surprised that you didn't feel more. So I'm curious what you are feeling right now and if you're looking forward to a parade coming up in Denver.
Men's parade? Men's parade?
Thursday.
No. I need to go home. Okay.
Poor thing, just won a championship. NBA Finals MVP, and he's sitting just sighing because he doesn't want to be here anymore. He wants to go home. First thing he said after he won was, "Okay, job's over. We're done. I can go home now."
You know what?
When is the parade?
You know, I like Nikola Jokic even more because I've always, I've said, there's two type of players in professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Players, what that sport can do for me and what I can do for the sport. Nikola Jokic is what can I do for this sport? It's over with now. I want to go home. I did what y'all asked me to do. I've came here. I played tremendous. MVP of the finals. I did everything that y'all asked me to do. I gave all of me. Now I want to go home. I just want to go home. I guarantee you, Jokic is one of these guys because listening to him, I can relate in a sense. He's one of those guys that he doesn't fit in to the NBA culture. He just doesn't. You know, he enjoys playing. He enjoys meeting people and stuff like that, but he's not, it doesn't seem like he's like that world is outside of him.
Mm-hmm.
He would rather be at home. Go back, you know, if he wants to spend time in his country, but he wants to be with his family. He just want to go home. He did everything I needed to do. Now, let me go home, please. I want to go home. When is the parade? Thursday. All right. I'm going home Friday. Or can I go home Thursday night, please? I just want to go home. He's one of those guys that are like, man, I enjoy the sport. I love it. But when it's over, I want to go be with my family because this is not, I'm not comfortable in all of this. I'm not comfortable with all of this stuff that's being thrown my way. You know, I appreciate it, you know, but I'm not comfortable with it. When do I go home? Okay, it's over with. Whew, man, we won a championship. He's one of those. If he won five more championships, I guarantee you he would react the same way.
Oh, he was in the locker room last night. You know, when you see locker room shots after a championship, they're throwing champagne and throwing it everywhere. He's in the corner by himself, just like holding a bottle of champagne. And he looks so uncomfortable. And it kind of felt bad for him in a way. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, I think there are several athletes in the history of sports, Michael Jordan being one of them, Tom Brady being one of them, where you win a Super Bowl and the next thought is, okay, let's get to the next one. You win a championship? Okay, when does the next one come? You at least give yourself the night to celebrate. Nikola Jokic just wants to go back to Serbia and take care of his horses.
Yeah.
You know, he's so gracious. Every interview he does, he's just gotten some triple-double, you know, 41 points and 20 rebounds and 10 assists. And he always is giving credit to his teammates. He's talking about the task at hand. You know, he is just like that. But he does have a very witty sense of humor. I do wonder if he was messing around with people. I do think he'll be at the parade. You could probably get Vegas odds. Like, will the Joker be at the parade? Like, I wonder if you can get some odds on that in Vegas. But I do think his teammates love him. But he is definitely a guy that beats to his own drummer. But I absolutely love that guy. He is officially my favorite active player in the NBA right now.
And I am so happy for him because I think Nikola Jokic could have three-peated NBA MVP this season. He was far and beyond the best player in the NBA playoffs. And you can make cases for Jimmy Butler in certain games. You can make cases for Jason Tatum in certain games. You can make cases for Anthony Davis or LeBron James in certain instances. But Nikola Jokic, throughout the entirety of the NBA playoffs, has showed up and consistently been the best player on the court. And now he's a champion.
Yep. So congratulations to all the Denver Nugget fans out there. You are the 2023
I only know
world
one, champions. I only know one Nugget fan. That's Kara Hammer. She texted our entire broadcasting team. She went to a couple of the games. That's where she hails from. So congratulations to the Hammer. She is the only Nugget fan. Do you guys know any Nuggets fans? Like,
I know
legit
Nuggets one
fan?
Nuggets fan. She's from Denver. That's the only Nuggets fan.
Okay, there you go.
I was a Nugget fan when it had Alex English. See, Caroline don't even know who Alex English is. Willie knows who that is.
Doug, remember that? They were easily the highest scoring team in the league back then.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mississippi is breaking new ground for business at a historic pace. Amazon, XAI, Toyota, Milwaukee Tool, and GE Aerospace have all tapped into our deep talent pool, prime geographic location, and welcoming communities. This is bigger than megasites. Mississippi offers a thriving business ecosystem with affordability, greater collaboration with energy partners, and record-breaking speed to market. Looking to expand? Break new ground at mississippi.org.